This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. I'm joined by Dan Shore, as usual, and we've been dusting 2003 off of our shoes this week, but want to cast a glance back at the entire year. That includes the United States going to war in Iraq, March 19, 2003.
On my orders, coalition forces have begun striking selected targets of military importance to undermine Saddam Hussein's ability to wage war.
U.S. and British forces won that war in a little less than 2 months, but what's followed has been months of a guerrilla war that has yet to be won. Not even the recent capture of Saddam Hussein has deterred some in Iraq who want the U.S.-led occupation to end.
There has just been a massive explosion at the shrine of Imam Ali in Najaf.
At home, the space shuttle Columbia was lost in the skies.
The same creator who names the stars also knows the names of the seven souls we mourn today. The crew of the shuttle Columbia did not return safely to Earth, yet we can pray that all are safely home. May God bless the grieving families, and may God continue to bless America.
Much of the East Coast was blacked out for 48 hours this summer. Hurricane Isabel roared through in September. And primary colors have taken on a whole new meaning. Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge explained that yellow isn't so bad, but orange is worrisome, and red, potentially disastrous.
The information we have indicates that extremists abroad are anticipating near-term attacks that they believe will either rival or exceed the attacks that occurred in New York and the Pentagon and the fields of Pennsylvania nearly 2 years ago.
The economy has sputtered and faltered and now seems to be strengthening without new jobs, which can almost be said in any of the 9 Democratic campaigns for president. Joining us now to talk about the prospects for the new year and looking back at the one past is our senior news analyst on NPR, Dan Shore. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And certainly the campaign to come in 2004 is going to be a dominant story. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you to read the tea leaves and more so far as to how you see, for example, the Democratic race proceeding.
Well, what my tea leaves tell me, and maybe my tea leaves are no better than everybody else's, well, they tell me that, first of all, we are a 50-50 nation. The country is almost evenly divided. It has been 4 years ago and remains today. So it's very difficult to tell who is likely to win either as a candidate or to win the election until you know about what's going to happen in the country and in the world, things which we cannot yet await or imagine, as, for example, what everybody asks, will it be another on our soil great disaster? Having said all that, it looks as though the Democrats are acting like Democrats, which means they're busy attacking each other. And by the time one of them wins the nomination, it's going to be very tough to go up against a president who is not only an incumbent, but relatively popular, not quite as popular as after 9/11, but still relatively popular. And there we are.
Using your advantage of history, is it usually in a year like this, not that we've ever had a year quite like 2003, is it usually the incumbent's election to lose?
I think that's right. Somebody has made the following joke, saying that imagine what's going to happen. The Democrats will fail to make a nomination. They'll go to the convention and they won't be able to nominate anybody, and that then President Bush will run unopposed and lose.
Not only the election, but for that matter, literal American lives depend on events in Iraq. U.S. commanders said this week that that more car bombs to them indicates that some of the insurgency is receding since the capture of Saddam Hussein, because they can't find that many people to proceed in full public view. Do you see acts of violence, terrorism, assassinations as everyday life in Iraq for the foreseeable future?
Well, you know, when Saddam Hussein's two sons were killed, they said, well, without them, we will see a let-up in the violence. And then Saddam Hussein was captured, and they said, well, that ought to be it. That ought to be the end of insurgency. There is no leader. But it didn't end. And in some ways, on some days, it increased. And it was now not only a bomb here and there along the side of the road, but perhaps also, as the past few days, another helicopter. I, myself, can see no sign that this insurgency is abating or will soon abate.
What about the timetable for handing over control from occupation authorities to Iraqis?
Well, with the election coming up, it is clearly very important to the administration to try to show at least that the American troops there are either home or on the way home or soon to come home. In order to be able to accomplish that, they have to show that they're leaving Iraq in a relatively safe position. For that purpose, they need either troops from other countries more or less allied to us, which you should not expect, because they won't come, or that they will form a new Iraqi army and say, now the Iraqi army can take over and now we can go home. I'm not sure if that will happen either.
Do you expect Saddam Hussein to go on trial in 2004?
If not in 2004, then 2005 or 6, these trials always take a little longer to set up than one would expect. And when it does, it's going to be quite an awful time. A lot of people are going to be very sorry he wasn't killed in the first place, because if you have seen what's happened in The Hague, where you can get a man accused of war crimes, is able to be in a position to interrogate his accusers, including even General Wesley Clark, you can imagine Saddam Hussein demanding that they bring as a witness, say, George Bush, so he can interrogate him. Are you ready?
This year that's been spotted with financial scandals. There's been CEO resignations and mutual fund scandals around the country. What have we learned about some of our major economic institutions?
We know, Scott, it seems as though every year there's one more great American institution in disgrace. We've had, for example, the government. People don't trust the government. The media, alas, people don't trust the media. Then there have been scandals with religion, with the Catholic Church. And now, for the past year or two, we get the great scandal that our financial institutions cannot be trusted, or some of them can't be trusted. And that is sort of one of the hallmarks of the past year and how the SEC will climb out of it, whether a New York district attorney can help them climb out of it. But our financial institutions need to rehabilitate themselves in the eyes of Americans.
What do you see as the economic outlook for the coming year?
That's probably my least expert thing, but let me say what I read, which is that we seem to be headed for a moderate recovery, but that the recovery has one lagging indicator, jobs. If we're thinking in electoral terms, and what else do we think about? If things continue to go the way they're going now, the economy will not be a problem for President Bush in the next election.
Let me ask you to turn overseas again. Do you see a spark of hope in the murk of the and continued daily suffering in the situation between Israel and Palestine?
Well, one is always says at the end of every year that it's been so awful, it cannot continue being so awful, and surely that on both sides you will find some sanity prevailing in saying, let us now try it a different way, and let us see whether we can have two states living together. You have now the so-called Geneva Accord, yet one more effort to come, not from the government, but to put pressure on governments. And all one does is cross one's fingers, but my fingers when it comes to Israel are permanently crossed.
Do you see any chance of change in government in Israel or an administration in the Palestinian Authority that will take hold?
As to Israel, like any democracy, if the government succeeds, they're in. And if the government doesn't succeed, they want to change. And it may well be that Sharon does not look so good anymore to Israelis, especially when it turns out that the wall that he's building between the Palestinian part and the Israeli part is not going down very well with any of their friends, including President Bush. And so I think that Sharon should not be taken for granted that he will remain through the next election.
Anybody holding a flight to the United States on British Air or Air France has to wonder if they're going to be allowed to take off these days.
Yes.
Are we looking at an indefinite future of canceled flights and cold-colored alerts?
Well, Scott, you know, if you were al-Qaeda, if you were looking at terror and what you can do to discommode the whole Western outside world, one of the easiest things to do is chatter. That is to say, to talk to other people, you know you're being monitored, and give indications that there's going to be some great act of violence. And if you can, by doing that, force the kind of security we now have at airports and force British and maybe soon other airlines to cancel flights because that's something you heard, that's a great success for terrorists, and no one knows how to stop it.
Olympics are going to be held in Athens this coming year. There has to be concerns about Athens as some kind of staging ground for terrorism.
Well, it was before in Munich, And you have to assume that when you get any large number of people collected in one place, in a very visible place with the world watching, it's a great temptation for terrorists. Mm.
2003 came to a close. There were reports of some contacts between U.S. and North Korean officials, and then a tragic, obviously, earthquake in Iran, followed up by outreaches of support, humanitarian assistance from the United States. Do you see the hope of an improvement of relations between the United States and those two regimes?
That, I might say, sort of the success story of this time. Remember when President Bush decided there was an axis of evil, it was going to be Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. Well, now The negotiations with North Korea seem to be going relatively well. There'll probably be somewhere in the new year a meeting, and it may well be North Korea has invited people to come and see what they've got there. Iran has invited the organization that monitors these things to come and see what they have there. It may well be that the most hopeful thing you can say about the coming year, if it all works, is that two out of the three of the axes of evil weren't so evil after all.
Dan, thanks very much.
My pleasure. If it's not too late, Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. Dan Shore.